bold enough to bring you the message. So my name is Reverend Stephanie Toon. I've been a Methodist minister for 18 years. I actually grew up in Orange County, right down the road in Anaheim, in the shadow of Angel Stadium and Disneyland. I went to college at Concordia University in Irvine, and then I went to graduate school to seminary at SMU in Dallas at Perkins School of Theology. My first ministry in California was just in the hop, skip, and a jump from here at Mesa Verde United Methodist Church in Costa Mesa. I was there for 6 years as the associate pastor, and then I was at Orange, First United Methodist Church in Orange, and right in the circle in Orange for six years as the lead pastor. And the exciting thing that happened while I was there is we started Family Promise in Orange County, and it's housed on the site of that church. So I think you guys know something about Family Promise here, and it's still alive and well, so that's exciting. And then I was moved out to Murrieta, California, to be the senior pastor out there when I came out of the closet. And the Methodist Church says we don't have any room for any gay pastors. And so they kicked me out. So for the last year, I've been seeking my teaching credential, and now I'm a social studies teacher at Citrus Hill High School in Paris. And my wife is here with me this morning, Adriana. So that's just a little bit of background about me. I know Cedric's been filling in. You guys have a lot of Methodism around here, filling in for Pastor Sarah as she had her beautiful baby boy. We've been friends for a long time, so it was exciting. This is actually the first time I've preached in 2 years, so I hope you'll have a little grace for me. This is a healing day for me, first time since the church sort of threw me out the door, so we'll just say that. I'm going to read scripture for you this morning. I actually have two scriptures for you, and the irony is when Cedric said we're talking about patience, the irony is I'm really not a good person to talk about this. So I'm going to talk about maybe what not to do when thinking about patience. Somebody who's known me for a long time in ministry is here, and I know she's just back there shaking her head thinking, I cannot believe she is speaking about patience. So I'm going to read first from Romans 8, verse 24 through 28. Hear this word of the Lord. For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope at all, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. And as I was thinking about patience this week, patiently sort of, Psalm 40, I tripped up on Psalm 40, so I thought I'd read that to you this morning as well. This is from the Psalm, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth. He put a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after the false gods of the world. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you where I proclaim and tell of them. They would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering to you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am in the scroll of the book. It is written to me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is written on my heart. Do not, O Lord, then withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love, your faithfulness, keep me safe forever, for evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord, to make haste to help me. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you then, O Lord. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. For as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay. Do not delay. Oh my God. Here ends the reading of the word. Will you join with me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the living out of these words be wholly acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Wait, wait, wait. Doesn't it feel like we're always waiting in today's world, waiting for something? When we think about it, we spend such a huge chunk of our lives waiting, pregnant for 9 months, waiting for a baby, waiting to hear from the doctor about a diagnosis, waiting to hear if we got a job. And those of us who live in Southern California, we sure do know what it is like to wait, right? In traffic, wait to get to our destination. We wait for laws to change because of school shootings. We wait for voters to help keep politicians accountable. We wait for our action and our work for justice to actually make a difference in the world. We wait for people too, right? We wait for our kids to get good grades or to make good choices. We wait for a loved one to sober up. Those of you who are married, you know what it is to wait. We wait for a friend or a family member or a lover even to change. We wait. And in that waiting, there's a longing in the depths of our being. I know what it's like to wait. I waited 3 years to get a phone call from social services in Orange County to have a baby for me to be able to adopt. Today's actually gotcha day for me. We got her 5 years ago today. We wait so much at the doctor's office, somebody was clever and said, how about we just call that the waiting room? Whether we like it, we wait a good portion of our lives. Over President's Day weekend, my family and I, we traveled up to north of Kernville for a little weekend retreat. My parents have a little cabin up there. It's actually a really beautiful place. They have horseback riding. It's a little lake for us to be able to kayak on. And there's no cell service for miles. It's actually quite blissful. This time, our 5-year-old daughter decided she was going to go fishing with Papa. I went along thinking there's no way she's going to last 5 minutes fishing with Papa, trying to be quiet enough or patient enough to be able to sit on the beautiful Kern River to wait for a fish to bite. She was so excited about her venture, she even stuck her little fingers, you know, in that little bait cup full of dirt and soil and worms and delighted in cutting that worm in half. Unlike her mother, I would never do that. She stood back as Papa told her to cast her line out into the water, and then she had a little chair next to Papa on the shore of the Kern River, and they just decided they would sit there together in peace and, what we say, mostly quiet for her first fish to bite. She had enough in her little 5-year-old being to wait about 5 minutes to say, Papa, where's my fish? Why isn't it biting? We sat behind them and we giggled at them because this went on about 7 or 8 different times in the hour that we sat there. And we'll just say that her first fishing trip with Papa was not very lucrative, which is a nice way to say they caught nothing. You see, it's hard to wait. And even my little daughter, who's 5 years old, she was a champ fisher girl for the first time on that day. But I could tell in her face that she really had no idea why there was no fish on Papa's line that day. My dad said multiple times to her, you just have to be patient. I sat behind him rolling my eyes, thinking of all of the times that my dad said to me as a little girl, you just have to be patient. Patience is a word that we really don't like to hear, right? Because we want results and we want them when? Now. We want action now. We want movement. We want government to change now. We live in a society of now. But waiting is connected to patience. And Paul even names patience as one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I can get love. Can you understand why love might be one of the fruit of the Spirit? Kindness is sort of a given. Generosity is good for today's world. Faith, of course, self-control is a must in our Christian lives and in our lives in general. But patience, really, Paul, you think that's necessary? And you know, it's just not one of my strengths, and I'll be honest with you about that. I'm working on it, or maybe I should say I should try to work on it. But you know what? I'm not alone in this. When people are given surveys for the fruits of the spirits, 99 out of 100 times, patience is the lowest on the list. Would anybody else be on the bottom as well? Patience requires us, as the sermon title says, to be present in the longing, to be present in the waiting that life requires. Patience requires us to slow down and to settle in to the present. The scripture in Romans this morning connects patience directly with hope. Paul says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Paul connects hope with patience, hope that longing for something better in our reality. Something better in our world, something better in our midst. And as we wait, as we practice patience, we do it with hope. After the church dumped me, I had to move on from my life. And so my first call was really to teaching when I was a young little girl. And so I went back to school to get my teaching credential. And currently I'm teaching sophomores AP European History and seniors government at Citrus Hill High School, which is in Paris. It's a very poor part of the Inland Empire. But it's one of the best jobs that I've ever had. I have, every single day I show up to work, and I have 170 teenagers that are excited to be at school because most of them don't have anything better to do at home. And so this is their safe place to be at school. And so obviously all of the school shootings recently have really shaken my kids. This next week, this coming week, they're planning to walk out in the midst of all these school shootings. You see, they themselves have been waiting for adults to do something, for adults to make change, for the adults to make a difference. They have been patient, thinking that the adults would make a change. They've held out hope in their spirits that adults could make them safer at school. And let's be honest, adults have let them down. And so now they're going to take their patience and their hope, and they're going to put their shoes on, and they're going to walk. And they're going to walk because they want to make a difference. They want to be heard. They want people to know that they've been patient long enough, and they want something to change. They want something to be different. And quite honestly, they're tired of waiting for adults to make a difference. It's hard to wait. It's hard to be patient, and especially in today's world. We live in this fast food nation. We shop at the grocery stores where three's a crowd. If you go to Disneyland, you can get a fast pass. We've gone from writing letters to emails to making phone calls to text messages. Don't even call me on my phone. I'm not going to answer your phone. Like, what? Don't waste my time. I'm just going to text you back. We don't like to wait. In our world, everything is faster, in a hurry, or even in an instant these days. And yet waiting and patience is a prevalent theme in the scriptures. Paul calls us to be patient in Romans, and the psalm that I just read starts with waiting and having patience on God. The Psalms are full of reminders of patience. Psalm 25:5 says, I will wait for the Lord all day long. That sounds like a long time. Psalm 27:14 says, I will wait for the Lord and be strong. Psalm 31:24 says, be strong, all who wait for the Lord. Psalm 37:6 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. There's so much waiting for the Lord in the Psalms. And in Psalm 40, it starts, I waited patiently for the Lord. Did I mention already that I don't like to be patient and it's not one of my strengths? As I read this psalm, it became clear to me that the psalmist is also struggling with waiting. The psalmist is also struggling with how to trust. The psalmist is also struggling with how to be patient. It's really sort of a testimony of faith, almost a confession. Like, this isn't easy to wait for the Lord. I decided to rewrite it in more modern terms, so listen to this. I made a decision, declares the psalmist. I made a decision to wait for God, faith, trust, and hope. Yeah, it's hard work. Trust me, I know that. I witnessed all my friends and neighbors give in to quick fixes. I watched them turn on Dr. Phil and other self-help gurus. They filled their hard relationships with vices. I watched and I knew I could also turn to those easier methods, much quicker methods. But I made a decision to be faithful, to trust, to wait. And you know, O Lord, that faith and trust and especially patience is hard work. It's something we really have to work at, but in the end, I'm hoping that it's going to be worth it. As I waited, I didn't wait passively. I had to make the conscious decision each and every day to trust, to have faith, and to wait on you, O God. I sought to do good, to surround myself with faithful people. I prayed, and I prayed a lot. I searched the scriptures, and I worked on this thing you call waiting. And not only is faith hard work, but trust doesn't come easy, nor does it happen overnight. Just as in a new relationship, it takes time to build trust, it took me time to fully trust and lean on you, O God. And so every day that God reminds me of God's faithfulness and to be open to God's trust in me, it was another day that waiting was worth it. Faith and trust have been worth it to me, and so that's why I wanted to write this psalm. I wanted everyone to know what God has done in my life when I have remained faithful and when I have watched. As I close, I'd like to point out that patience was not high on the spiritual gifts list of the psalmist either. But patience is one of his strengths. This is a beautiful song to remind us of God's faithfulness and calling. And to be patient, to be patient. The psalm begins with, I waited patiently for the Lord. But the psalm also ends with one of the most wonderful verses in the Psalter and maybe in all of Scripture that you should go home and highlight in your Bibles. It's verse 17. It says, do not delay, oh my God. Do not delay, oh my God. It's really a classic form in its original form. Give me patience and give it to me now. Give me patience and give it to me now. Do not delay. And so on this Lenten journey, as you, as I, as we all journey to the cross, may we focus more intently on being. And this week, let's consider being patient. May God give us patience with hope. And give it to us. May it be so. Amen.